It's very good to be back with y'all. Missed being here. I want to thank Jack for filling in, doing such a fine job on the class. Jack, would you continue on Wednesday? I would appreciate that. I want to thank William and Daryl for bringing the lessons in my absence also. Appreciate that. There's nothing like being together physically with brothers and sisters in Christ. And hopefully that physical gathering equates to what God really expects, and that is that spiritual gathering together to be pleasing unto Him. In Romans, the 11th chapter, just thinking about the book of Romans itself, we understand when we look back in the 28th chapter of Acts that there were Jews there in Rome. There was a synagogue. And Paul calls them and speaks to them concerning the things that he had gone through, concerning Christ Jesus. They had not heard about some of the things that he had gone through and some of the accusations had been made concerning himself. And I think from that we can surmise also by what is stated in Romans, the lessons that are being taught, where Paul really focuses on not being justified by works, that the congregation there in Rome that he addresses in his letter, the book of Romans, is made up not only of Jews, but also of Gentiles. And it is evident because of the address that is made in Romans concerning works, concerning faith, that there was an understanding that needed to be among them. The Jews coming from the old law still expected aspects of law keeping. The Gentiles not having a law as far as a codified law that was given to them by God, such as the Mosaic law, were looking more toward Christ. And in the 11th chapter, when you go back to the beginning of the 11th chapter, there is, of course, the admonition that is given to both, the Jew and the Gentile alike. The message, excuse me, to the Gentile, don't think that you are God's only people. And if you disobey, well, he will cut you off as disobedient Israel also. But understand that God had chosen Israel, and if they will receive the Lord, they too will be saved. And when we look here in this 11th chapter, I want to go back and get some of the context, at least as we see it, when we get to the end to really make our point in connection with this lesson. In verses 25, here it says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in." There was a cultural roadblock for the Jews in serving God. And the cultural roadblock that was there was the Gentiles themselves. And the vast majority of churches away from Jerusalem were made up of Gentiles. And this was an issue that was taking place at that time. How the Jews, we were God's chosen people. Now the Gentiles come in and even not recognizing, I believe, quite often the prophecies that went on before that Christ came to seek and to save all that were lost. And so there was this roadblock that was there. And the Jew and the Gentile was the roadblock for the Christian, Jewish Christians at this time. When we look at verses 26 through 29, Paul says, "And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." That was the covenant for all. And here he's talking about for Jacob or for Israel. Jacob is used for Israel in this passage. Concerning the gospel, he says to the Gentiles, "They are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of God. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." And so he says, when all are one in Christ, all Israel will be saved. He's talking about spiritual Israel. And we see that when we look in Romans, the 9th chapter, and verse 6. Where Paul makes a statement, not all Israel are Israel. But then he clarifies it a little bit further on. God's chosen people all are through faith in Christ Jesus. We see in verses 30 through 32. He says, "For you were once disobedient to God, but you obtained mercy through their disobedience." He's talking now to the Gentiles. And he says, you've obtained mercy through the disobedience. Doesn't mean because they disobeyed was the means of their salvation. It was also a stumbling block that Christ Jesus was the Messiah. And this is what he's speaking of here. Even so, they have now also been disobedient, that through the mercy shown to you, they also may obtain mercy. And that through the same source, through Christ Jesus. Not through works of the law, but rather through faith. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. That is, all have sinned, falling short of the glory of God. We see that in Romans 3 and verse 23. He considered both Jew and Gentile alike. And then thus the need then for the salvation through Christ Jesus. Just as you Gentiles once were, so are the Jews now disobedient, but God shows mercy to all, and that through Christ Jesus. Dependent upon, of course, those that are obedient to him. In verses 33 through 35, Paul says this. William, will you read that for us, please?
For who has known the mind of...
Let's come down to verses 33 through 35. Quite all right.
Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him... And it shall be repaid to him.
When you look at this, the mind of the Gentile, of the Jew, was how could God have any dealings at all with the Gentiles? They were idolatrous. They overtook Israel. They put Israel in captivity. They put Judea in captivity. How could God have any dealings with them whatsoever? And what Paul is describing here in verses 33 through 35 is that all is possible with God, because his wisdom is much greater than ours. And we see that point being made also in Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 12. And then he comes down in verse 36. And he says, for of him, and through him, and to him are all things. That's our lesson. That's our focal point. We keep in mind, of course, this context. The Jews saying the Gentile can't be saved and they need to keep the law if they want to be saved. It goes back to Acts the 15th chapter, of course, when the Council of Circumcision took place in Jerusalem. Accusation being made or statements being made that the Gentile cannot be saved unless they keep the law of Moses. And then as you continue on, of course, we see throughout this book of Romans, where the focus is trying to be brought back to Christ Jesus. It was the message at Pentecost, as Peter and the apostles stood before the million plus Jews at that time and preached the gospel. The focus was Christ. It wasn't the law. David, he's in his sepulcher. He's buried. He's dead. But Christ Jesus rose from the dead. You put him to death. The focus is Christ. And every subsequent lesson after that to the Jews dealt with the very same thing that Peter and the apostles preached on the day of Pentecost. Christ was the focus. And as we come to verse 36, we have that focus that is made for us here. And I want you to consider these things with me. Again, Romans 11, verse 36. For of him, that is, of Christ Jesus. When we think about that of, the word of or from him, Christ is the source of all things. We can go back to Acts 17, chapter and verse 24. And Jack, would you read that for us here, please?
God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
And that last part is John, the first chapter and verse 4. We understand Christ is the source of all things. Christ is the source of our physical life. Christ is the source of this temporal existence that we're in now. Christ is the source of that. But Paul is talking in this context, dealing with Jew and Gentile before God, even the physical, Christ Jesus is the source because he made from one blood every nation of men. But the focus is on salvation for all. And we see here in Romans 11, verse 26 and 27. Robert, would you read that, please?
And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins.
Christ Jesus, for of Him. Yes, we're here because of Him. All things were made by Him and for Him. We understand that when we look over in Colossians 1 chapter, verse 16 and 17. He is the creator of the world. And even time, it was made by Him, but it was made for Him also. But when we look at this, we understand that here the focus on this is on the salvation for all. And Paul deals with that. All Israel will be saved. Well, who is Israel? Not those just necessarily of physical Israel, he says, but rather spiritual Israel. And he makes that point. And then he says the deliverer will come out of Zion and he will turn ungodliness away from Jacob, from Israel. For this is my covenant with them when I will take away their sins. The covenant that is made is to take away the sins. But whose sins? All. For of Him is forgiveness. And the point that Paul is trying to make here to the Romans is you look to Christ Jesus as the source of all things, especially that which is spiritual. The Jew at this time is being addressed by Paul in the Roman letter. And as he mentions in other letters also, sought to seek relationship with God by works of law. And Paul is saying it's not by works, it's by faith. It's by faith. Does that mean we don't need to attend? If we just believe in Jesus Christ, we don't need to attend services. We don't need to partake of the Lord's Supper. We don't need to study. We don't need to sing. Does it mean that? No, it does not mean that. And we need to do that in order to give thanks unto God. Not to earn our salvation, but to give thanks unto God. And to recognize that Christ Jesus is the source of all things, and especially in connection with salvation for all. When we look in Romans 9, verse 6 through 8, let's get a reading on that, Richie. Richie?
But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called, that is, those who are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed.
Yeah, the seed, and that through faith, not by physical lineage. You see again, once again, this focus on Christ Jesus in connection with Him being the source of salvation. That is what was not being understood by the Jew back at that time in which Paul is writing this letter to, and I'll submit to you it's not understood today. We have religious friends that are members of denominations that believe that they are working their way to heaven. And instead of, as Paul is pressing in this point, that Christ is the source of our means of getting to heaven. Can we be disobedient? No. Do we work to earn salvation? No. Do we do the Lord's will because we love Him? Yes. And we then become the children of the promise that was made. Galatians 3, 26 through 28. Get a reading on that, Sandy, if you would.
For you were all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
The recognition of the need of a source of salvation is incumbent upon those that would be pleasing to the Lord, that would have the hope of eternal life. You look at this and he says, we're all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And he says that in that relationship there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, doesn't matter. We're all one in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. And that putting on Christ then gives us that understanding that by faith we follow Him. And not by works of law. By the works of law, replete throughout the Roman letter, shall no flesh be justified. And if that's not enough, emphasis is made in the Galatian letter also, which are companion letters in connection with faith and works. And so Christ Jesus, our recognition has to be that He is the source of all things for us, but especially with the focus on our salvation. I have a very dear brother that will not sing the song, "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." He says, "No, it takes more than that." Well, if it takes more than that, we're not going to get to heaven. If it's more than the blood of Jesus. Yes, we're to do His will, but the shed blood of Christ Jesus is what cleanses us from all sin. We understand that when we look in 1 John 1 and verse 7. When we continue on, not only does the text say, "for of Him," it also says, "and through Him." And through Him. Christ is the agent of all things. He is the cause of all things. Acts 17, verse 28. Brandon.
"For if we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring."
We are here because of procreation that started with creation, Adam and Eve being made, and from that point forward, procreation came into being. Procreation, we are the products of procreation from the creation. That is, stemming back to Adam and Eve. And we understand that. But again, it's not about the physical. That is, Christ is the agent or the cause of our being. And we understand that. But Paul is pointing out the spiritual guidance unto salvation through Christ. And he makes this point in Jeremiah 10, verse 23. William.
"O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in the man who walks to direct his own spirit."
The Jew in Rome and the Jews other places that were Christians had to get past the point where there's a law that is given by God. It's a Mosaic law. I have to do that in order to be pleasing unto God. And they did while it was in effect. But that is the way that I will earn my salvation. That's not the point. He says, Jeremiah says here in verse 23 of chapter 10, exactly the opposite of what the Jews were thinking at the time. They were trying to make their own way. And that's the reason that Paul wrote that letter to Rome. You can't make your own way. It has to be through faith in Christ. He has to be the agent. He's the source, but He's also the agent of your salvation. And there's not a way in order to be saved without that. We can't direct our own steps. We have to look to what God says. We see in Proverbs 20 and verse 24. Robert.
"A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way?"
You take God's word, you set it aside. Can we be pleasing to the Lord? Can we find our own way? We cannot do that. Is God's word a "thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not"? I'm talking about the New Testament day that we follow. Is it a "thou shalt not" and "thou shalt" law that is given? Well, there's aspects of that. But it's not about law keeping. And what is being stated here by Solomon, "a man's steps are of the Lord. They are ordered by the Lord," other versions say. And what he means by that, there is that example that has been set down because the agent of all things in connection with salvation is Christ Jesus. And He has set forth an example for us that we should follow. I'm not talking about going to the cross. I'm talking about laying down our lives because He is the source. Laying down our lives for Him. There are things that people want to do that they will give up the Lord for. They will turn their back on the Lord. "I'd rather be doing this. I'd rather be doing that." Rather than looking to the agent or the cause of salvation that says, "I want to please my Savior." When we think about this, when we go to Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, Jack.
"I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith."
You look here and you have cause and effect. You have the agent in connection with this, Christ Jesus. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is needful. It is the power of God unto salvation, as he says in verse 16. And then notice verse 17. "For in it," that is in the gospel of Christ Jesus, For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. We are to practice righteousness. We understand that. To earn salvation? No. To be pleasing to the Lord? Yes. But from what standpoint? Because we want to do the Lord's will. Why? Because of what He has done for us. He is the agent for our salvation. And so He says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And what He's saying there is that one is justified through Christ Jesus. And then from that point forward, they live by faith unto God. The just shall live by faith. He is that agent of the cause of our salvation. We see in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. We're reading there, Robert, if you would.
Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work.
I hope that no one, when you became a Christian, after hearing an invitation given at the end of a gospel sermon, sat there with a log that you've drawn out and you were checking off the box as you went. Okay, well, I'm to hear the gospel of Christ. Okay, I've done that. I'm going to check that off. And we're commanded here, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. We see that in Matthew the 13th chapter. Hear what the Spirit says to the seven churches. Jesus said that to John. We are to hear. Is it a checkbox thing or is it an attitude? I will listen to what the Lord says through His Word. I hope no one came down to repentance. Faith. And we understand that without faith it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. But he that comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And I have faith in God. I have faith that He exists and I have faith in God. I'm going to check that box. And then you come down to repentance. And you see examples of repentance that took place. We see on the day of Pentecost in Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 37, that they had heard the words in verse 36 that Peter and the apostles preached. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that that same Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? And the first words that came out of Peter's mouth was repent. Repent being a change of mind, aspects of sorrow involved because of past way of life. I hope that you didn't sit there, okay, I've repented now, I'm going to check that box. And then the preacher mentions baptism because Peter went on there in Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now I'm going to do that. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to check that box. Rather than taking the totality of the preaching of the gospel to teach us what it is to be a child of God, to be pleasing unto Him. Rather than a check-the-box aspect, not of works, but an attitude of, Lord, thank You for giving Yourself for me. Thank You for going to that cross, for doing what I could not do. I cannot save myself. No man can save me. But only You, You alone, are the one that can save. You are the agent of my salvation, and I want to do Your will. Because I want to give thanks to You. That's the attitude. And then as we are living in this life today, Christians, I don't believe we'll come to a full understanding of every aspect of what God would have us to do while we're in the flesh. I think we strive toward that understanding. I think there'll be some things that would be made very clear to us whenever this life is over that we probably had some wrong thoughts about. And so we're not living. Hopefully, no one is here this morning because they have their logbook. All right, I'm supposed to attend. I'm here. That's another step to heaven. And I don't believe we can be pleasing unless we gather together. But yet we do it not because of works. We do it because we want to be with the Lord in this assembly. We want to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. And to be pleasing unto the Lord, because He said, let us not forsake the assembling together, Hebrews 10:25. I've studied my lesson. I've done that. I've got it all filled out. I'm going to check the box, another step toward heaven. No, we study because we want to. We want to have that diligence to understand God's will. We sing, we partake of the Lord's Supper, we do all those. And then separate, apart, away from here, we continue in worship unto God. It's our daily lives. It is the giving up of ourselves that we become a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And so we do those things. And these scriptures that are inspired of God, that are written in this New Testament, instructs us how to please the Lord. Not by works of law, but rather that which is of faith, being righteous before the Lord, that we live by these things because we want to please Him because of what He did for us. But also, Romans 11 verse 36 says, not only for Him and through Him, it says, and to Him. Christ is the purpose of mankind about all things. That's the to Him. Where do we look? Do we look at those that have taught us as examples of our salvation? Well, hopefully there are good men and women that have taught us and taught us correctly and set forth examples for us, and we are to look and to follow righteous lives that have gone on before. But where do we really look when it all comes down to the end? Where do we look? Christ has the purpose. Acts 17, verse 30. Richie, what does that say?
Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent.
That repent is a change of mind. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to serve myself. I'm not going to serve others. I will stand on the accountability of Christ Jesus and His shed blood. And I will stand with the hopes of salvation through Him that is given to those that trust in Him. And so we understand that that is that attitude of repentance. Are we to confess our sins one to another? Well, you can't deny that from James 5 and verse 16. When we sin, we need to confess our sins. And we understand it also when we look over in 1 John 1 and verse 9. That Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But here, this attitude of a penitent heart. I will look to the Lord. That is my change of mind. I'll not look elsewhere. I will look to the Lord ultimately about salvation. Christ is the purpose in my life. And if Christ is not the purpose in our life, we're living for the wrong purpose here upon this earth. We think what is stated in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. Jack?
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil.
Do we have a contradiction here of what Paul is saying in Romans? He said, no one is justified by works, and now you have here, fear God and keep His commandments. I'll suggest to you that when he says, for this is man's all, it deals with Christ Jesus being the purpose, God being the purpose of our life. We do the Lord's will because of our thankfulness, because of the salvation that we receive, because of the forgiveness that we receive. And we understand that there's going to be a time of judgment. And it's actually the time that we're living right now. We go through the trials throughout our life. And it is judgment whether or not we pass the test. Not unto salvation, for earning salvation, but we pass the test of having the purpose of Christ in our life. Think about this from Jude verses 24 and 25. Sandy.
Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
It's interesting wherever you look at this. With Christ Jesus being our purpose, this is what the very first aspect of what Jude says concerning that. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Does that mean automatic cleansing? Or does that mean that we've been given God's word for direction? Our heart is turned toward Him. We may not even understand everything. We might not even understand the total aspect of grace. And yet, He's able to keep us from stumbling by God's grace. And so He says that we may, that He may present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. I will submit to you that that is mercy. What is being spoken of there is mercy from God, and none of us will stand in judgment before God based upon justice and be found pleasing to Him, but we have to have mercy. We notice what James said about that in our class this morning. Mercy triumphs over justice or judgment. We see also that He says all things. Romans 11:36, and for of Him the source, through Him the agency, to Him the purpose of this life is Christ Jesus, are all things. What are the all things? People, their conduct, desires, allegiance. Let's look, William, if you would, at Colossians 1:15 through 20.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it is pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross.
All things. All people. In connection with their conduct, their desires, and their allegiance. Christ Jesus created everything for us. We have the atmosphere we can breathe. We have nighttime where we can sleep. We have daytime where we can work. We have gravity that holds us on this planet. But Paul is talking about in the all things that which is in connection with faith in Christ Jesus. And that He is to have He is preeminent. And the reason being is that in Him all the fullness of God dwells. And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. When you think about the all things, it has to come down to people. That was the purpose. He's the source, the agency, the purpose. To reconcile people unto God. That's the desire of God. We understand that when we look at 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. To reconcile people to God. To whom then He says be glory, praise, and honor. 1 Timothy 6:13 through 16. Brandon.
I urge you, the Son of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ is appearing, which He will manifest in His own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in inapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen.
Every atheist, when they die, recognizes the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Everyone that claims to be a Christian but does not live the life, because they don't recognize the source, the agency, or the purpose that is through Christ Jesus, will recognize and immediately recognize He is the only blessed potentate, King of kings, and Lord of lords. And those that trust in themselves, members of the Church of Christ, checking the box as they go, will recognize immediately that He is the only potentate, the King of kings, and Lord of lords. They will recognize that. And that to Him is the glory, because He is the source, the agent, and the purpose for the life of each and every one of us. What is your focus in life? Will you look to Jesus? John 6 and verse 40, Richie.
For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day.
Where's your trust? Where's your confidence? Is it in that checking of the box as we go through our lives? Is it here this morning because we have partaken of the Lord's Supper? We've sang, we're about to give. Make sure and check that box because you can't get to heaven unless you do that. Or is it looking unto the Lord? What will you give in exchange for your soul? What will you give in exchange for your soul? Robert, Matthew 16, 24 through 26.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?
I think sometimes this is taken out of context, this particular passage. This isn't, if anyone desires to come after, and whoever desires to save his life will lose. He's not talking about physical death. That giving up of self has to do with the laying down of ourselves and looking to the source, the agent, and the purpose that is Christ Jesus Himself. And that we give up in connection with Him all because we recognize that He is the focus in our life. What will you do with Jesus? Of Him, will you allow Jesus to be the source of your salvation and not a check-the-box activity? Through Him, will you allow Jesus to be the agent of your trust rather than us trying to make our own way? To Him, will you allow Jesus to be the purpose in your life? I ask the question, what will you do with Jesus? Here's what one man said, or rather what people said. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? They said, let him be crucified. Here's the application for us today. I'm not crucifying myself. I'm not giving up my life. I'm not denying myself. I'm going to take in everything that I want to do. Let Jesus be crucified. That's one answer. That's one answer that does not respect the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. Here's another answer. John 20 and verse 28. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. That's the answer. Because we recognize Christ Jesus as the source, the agent, and the purpose of our life and our salvation. Do you recognize that this morning? There may be those here this morning that are not Christians, have not been baptized for remission of your sins. Christ Jesus is the source of your forgiveness. He died on the cross. You couldn't have done what He did. Oh, there were probably millions that died by crucifixion. Only one died on the cross that was buried and rose again, that shed His blood for your forgiveness. He's the source of your salvation. He's the agent of your salvation, in which He gives us, of course, that free gift of grace that we can act upon. And that in Him, through Him, we then can be pleasing by obedience. If you're not a child of God, would you become one this morning and start that walk with the Lord to be pleasing unto Him? And those of us that are here today, what are we doing here? Why are you here this morning? If it is just a matter of duty, well, Jesus said to, yes, the Scriptures say to be here. But if it's just a matter of duty, you miss the aspect of the desire that has to be involved in being pleasing to the Lord. Where else do you want to be this morning? It should be to come and to hear God's Word, to study, to be in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. To understand that in our presence right now is Christ Jesus because He is God, He is everywhere. And that in our worship even this morning, We have fellowship with Him. And we understand that. And then when we leave this building, that aspect continues on. It's not just about an assembly worship, but it's about the way that we conduct our lives. Do you recognize Him as your source, as your agent of your salvation? Don't trust in self. Trust in Christ. If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.